right, ladies and gentlemen. I've got to get my friend back on this program more often. He's such a treasury of information, insight, wisdom, and just an all-around superior human being. I'm being serious here. I'm not overloading it here, but he is. He's a great man. Yoichi Shimatsu. Hello, Clark. Welcome back.
Well, thank you very much. It's what you're saying, I agree with. I'm getting very old. As you get old, you get maybe a little wiser, but not necessarily happier.
Isn't that the truth? What did the Pennsylvania Dutch say? We grow too old, smart, and too quick, too fast, old. That's what it is, something like that.
That's right.
Too old,
that's
smart,
right.
And too quickly old. Anyhow.
Yeah,
right.
You can't wait to get there. But when you're there, you said, I don't want to be here.
It's true.
I like to be young, stupid,
I just
crazy.
Well, let me take my wisdom. Let me take my wisdom with me and go back. Yeah, and so I can contribute.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I know. I can't speak for you, but I know you, and that's what you. I'd love to do it too. Take all the wisdom I have and give me another 40 years, and let's see what we can do to help this troubled planet more than perhaps we do. But the wisdom you've gathered, I mean, come on, who is it that wants to? The Google guy who wants to get his brain uploaded, you know who I mean. What the hell's his name? And anyway, they should upload your brain.
Already, Well, please don't. There's a lot of things to forget. I mean, we have this...
We all make mistakes, friend. Come on.
Look, poor Pete Hegseth, right?
Yeah.
He goes to a few parties, dances with a couple girls, gets a little friendly.
Yeah.
I was around in the 60s and 70s. I did whatever I wanted. No one ever bugged me. I was never accused of anything, right? It was called normal, right?
Of course.
Yeah, you went to discos, you had fun, you took girls out on dates, and next day, next week, no one ever said anything. You know?
And
you
by the way, if I might add,
if
I might add, those girls were not stupid. They only did what they wanted to do. They knew what they were doing. Come on.
And let's face it, a lot of them were just party girls, you know?
That's it.
Some agency decided to hire them as pretty faces and nice bodies out there to enliven the party and all that. And some guys show interest. I mean,
life.
The girls should be praising the guys for, saying, I'm beautiful. See, this guy is interested in me. No, they said, no. Look, don't touch, right? I mean, come on, grow
up. Come on, he's a soldier. He's faced death on the battlefield. I think he's won some awards and all that. Leave the guy alone.
Yeah.
Come on, he's just being a normal man, for God's sakes. If he's got the tools to be Secretary of State, let's put him in.
Yeah.
Forget this other crap.
Right.
If he's got the intellectual tools, the geopolitical awareness, let's use that.
So, my dad was a soldier in the American Army in Europe, and fought like hell.
Your dad was a superhero.
When they occupied the Riviera, he had learned taxi dancing in Los Angeles. He took over the ballrooms in the Riviera, and the French women loved them,
That's funny.
And they said, isn't this rare? Here's this rare breed of Asian guy, right? Tall, good-looking, and great dancer.
Yeah.
And he had a blonde girlfriend and a brunette girlfriend. In fact, after the blonde lady married a French guy, they visited California to say hello to him, It was all in good sport.
Nice. What a nice thing.
You see, it's all in good sport, and that, these things happen in life, okay? Boy meets girl, and this and now these people who say nothing about Adam Schiff, having a little fun with a black boy at the Standard Hotel in Long Beach, the black boy dies and disappears down a sewer pipe. After they dissolve his body in acid, not a single Democrat in California mentioned this. And is it when he took over Dianne Feinstein's seat
disgusting.
In Congress?
disgusting.
I mean, this is a murderer. A sexual predator who wears a dress, okay, pretends to be a woman to get black men in bed with him, right, to do the thing. One of them died and disappeared. No police report. The Standard Hotel was sold soon thereafter. And the helicopter carrying the manager of that hotel and two investors in the hotel crashes in Newport Beach. And I was there. The helicopter left John Wayne Airport. And I reported for you back there that this thing crashed. And I know exactly where it crashed, in the Back Bay, heading to Catalina Island, and the pilot comes out of it alive and well. He jumps out of the damn thing as it's going down, okay?
That's
and
crazy. I remember this.
Kills someone in the house.
How is it that you know about the Back Bay? I grew up in Newport Beach. And the Back Bay used to be this incredibly natural, wild. There was nothing there except water.
My sister had a law office right near there.
I
visited her, and then I took sailing lessons there in the Back Bay. That's where I took sailing lessons. I knew a little bit about sailing boats before, but I took actually official sailing things to get a piece of paper to say that I can take a boat out.
Yoshi, listen. Do you remember? You must. The Balboa Bay Club.
Sure.
It was the big private club for all the super rich.
The biggest private vessel ships out there in the world are lined up.
They used to, limousines.
Yeah, right. I mean, incredible place.
This is going to amaze you, maybe not, but I started working in the Balboa Bay Club. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was the executive chef, and the dining room there held up to 500 people. I started working in there I was 11 years old. I worked for $1 an hour. I worked there for over 3 years. Every weekend, every vacation, I worked there. I worked 10, 12 hours a day, and I learned a lot, believe me. 3 years in that Balboa Bay Club kitchen.
You learned the names of a lot of Hollywood celebrities in California.
I'll never forget.
Heavyweights, political heavyweights. Yeah, incredible.
There's another little quickie.
And a lot of them were actually very good good on boats and good sailors.
Oh, yes. They had big yachts, beautiful yachts there. They were beautiful. Yeah. Now, here's a funny one. My grandfather, being the chef, he was the chef at Ciro's in Hollywood for 10 years before he went to the Balboa Bay.
Amazing.
Yes. Yeah. He knew everybody, and I used to. Anyway.
Well, my mother must have met him sometime, because she sometimes dined there when she was in the movies. Yeah. And
probably
so she was
did.
A movie actress. Yeah. And,
I didn't know that,
in fact,
your mom
a lot
was.
Of my family, a lot of my family were in, I have cousins who were in Flower Drum Song in the cast and all that. My mother was movie actress in the States and in Japan, Toei Studios in Japan. That was in Godzilla Studios. Yeah, so she was a quite good-looking woman, good dancer and all that.
I'm sure she went to Ciro's. Everybody did. That was the number one place.
Pardon me?
Ciro's was number one.
Absolutely.
I'm sure she was there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very, very famous. It was the top restaurant in L.A. And all the celebs, all the big politicians went to partly be seen also, to be seen.
It's true. Ciro's.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yep.
Those are good old days in Los Angeles, amazing.
Well, L.A. was a really a nice city at one point. Very nice in the 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
I worked in the Balboa Bay Club, my grandfather, he was a chef, and he had cooks and everything, bakers. We had everything there. And I would wear a white chef's jacket. You had to. That was what you wore. And a chef's hat.
Yeah.
And he would get one of his hats and staple it up so it fit on my little head. I was 11. So I had this big, tall, white hat on. I looked like Billy Barty. Yeah. Well, not quite. And I had the white chef's jacket on. And one night, I'm in there, must have been around midnight, and there were always waiters coming and going from the dining room into the kitchen.
Yeah,
and the door would swing open. And once I was at that end, and I was making, watered chestnut parfaits or something bizarre. Anyway, the door opened.
That's the Asian influence. That was the Asian influence, and the cuisine, right?
Yeah. And guess who popped through the door, walked right in? Rudy Vallee.
Oh, wow.
And he walked
he must have had a walking with a walking cane by then, yeah.
He came in, I don't know what he came in for, but he came in for a reason, and he came in, mm-hmm. and he caught sight of me, and he stopped, mm-hmm. and he turned, and he mm-hmm. stared at me. Here's this little kid mm-hmm. with a big white chef's hat on, and a big white jacket, and I'm making desserts or something. This is about midnight. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. And he actually stopped and stared and then just kind of walked back through the door, forgot what he came in for. He just left.
You stunned him. You stunned him. Oh, that's amazing. Well, that's very interesting. You know, actually, that was kind of a premonition because I've been to France and, you know, done reporting there and was hosted by many bigwigs and all that. And they would always call me a grand chef. And I'm not a chef or a cook, but what they meant is an editor. And that's what you are, too. You're a grand chef, an editor. In other words, like a chef, you pick and choose the best ingredients. You match them up, and you put them together to make a lively, entertaining, very spicy and sweet kind of show, you know? And so an editor, a news editor, and a, you know, cook, a great cook.
A
grand chef.
Creating an incredible dish. It's carefully done. Yeah. You're right. It's very
the
carefully
difference
done.
Between a fried egg and a souffle.
Thank you. Here's Yoshi talking. So. He was the editor of the Japan Times Weekend Editions, for God's sakes. Talk about being at the top of your class.
Well,
there it
pretty
is.
Influential in his time. Yeah, it was very influential. But the Balboa Club, I'm sad to say, I've puttered by there on little boats, you know, many a time. It's quieted down quite a bit, you know. It's not the grand Hollywood, you know, celeb scene anymore.
I made a shrimp cocktail for Jane.
California scene.
I made a shrimp cocktail for Jane Powell, the actress. I remember that.
I
put the shrimp in there, and I said, this is going inside Jane Powell. And out it went.
She must have been in her 60s, 70s by then.
I can't remember.
She was great in her time. Yeah. Amazing. Anyway, that's you got a touch of the old pre-war 1930s Hollywood, 40s Hollywood, the grand era. And you got a sense of that, which makes you very lucky as a young man to have seen all of that.
Very lucky.
California in its heyday, you know, and now it's sort of a, oh my God, you know, the mayor of San Francisco has been finally dethroned. London, what's her name? I forget her name. Willie Brown's lady who was giving out syringes to all newcomers.
The mayor of San Francisco was wasn't she a tranny? The woman, the San Francisco mayor, wasn't she, or a bull dyke? Wasn't it a woman?
She was a bull dyke, but before that she was Willie Brown's mistress too. So she went both ways and all that. London Breed. What a name. It's a very, very strange name, Breed, BREED. Yeah, like breeding viruses is more like it. You know, and then she was deposed by a very wealthy San Franciscan. And now I think the city, because the San Francisco elite just got, you know, when they started attacking downtown, looting the, basically killing all the big department stores, making streets unsafe, making the whole town smell of defecation and urine, you know.
I hear that.
The San Francisco elite says, we're not liberals anymore. We can't be liberals if this is what liberalism creates, a zoo instead of a beautiful city. So there's been some great changes.
I got one more quick thing. You used to sail in the bay, Newport Bay, it was a beautiful, beautiful place. And you could sail right by the Balboa Bay Club and look. You remember the ferry boat from Balboa Island over to the Fun Zone? The ferry boat.
Ferry. The little car ferry. It's still running. Yeah. You have taken that many times. Wonderful.
I used to work on that.
Wow. Yeah. That must have been fun because it is the strangest little ferry in the world. And then you get some of the grandest cars, you know, you get sports cars on there worth millions of dollars, you know, coming on this little old ferry. You know, amazing sight. Yeah. You know?
That was wonderful. And then I ran a paddleboard stand on the island as well for people to go out in the bay and paddle around. And,
oh, yeah, paddleboarding.
I was very lucky. Yeah.
Yeah, paddleboarding was a big thing. That was a vessel you really could not hit with your little sailboat. Because then you would really be in deep trouble.
deep water.
So, the paddle boaters. Amazing. Standing up on a little surfboard with a single stick, long stick, and paddling along. And pretty amazing stuff that Californians do. Which I think, you know, it might be a little bit underappreciated by the younger generation.
They don't know. And they don't know. They never experienced it. It's gone. It's just like science fiction or something out of a novel.
Yeah, the good life.
And it's true.
Yeah, the good life.
Financially, I've been on my own since I was 11. I've always supported myself. Yeah. And it was a wonderful thing. By the way, the L.A., Los Angeles, greater Los Angeles, that includes everything from Redlands to San Bernardino to San Fernando out in the west and Malibu, all the way down to Balboa. The bottom line of the Pacific Electric Red Car mass transit system in L.A. went all the way down to the end of the peninsula at Balboa.
Wow.
That was the greatest system ever. It went everywhere.
Yeah.
You ever want to have fun, look up, do a search for L.A. red cars. That'll do it for you. And you'll see maps of this incredible, it was the world's biggest all-electric trolley car system.
Yeah.
It could carry 60 people on a trolley and do over 50 miles an hour, and you could ride it all day for a nickel, I'm told. That's what it was, a nickel.
I sure recall
ride
that,
everywhere.
Yeah, and then... They pulled the plug on that thing, and then...
They didn't pull the plug. What happened was Firestone Tire and Rubber, Mobil Oil, Standard Oil of Ohio, and General Motors Coach Division, the bus division, got together and set up a corporation on the QT. They funded it, and that corporation went around to every major city in this country and bought up the controlling number of shares in all of the electric mass transit systems that were around from Philadelphia to L.A., and then they would put in their freeways and their diesel buses. That's how they wrecked the red car line and so many electric mass transit lines that were all over the major cities. That's where they went. They were run out of business.
Isn't it funny? You never hear about this from the environmental movement.
No, nothing.
Not a word of any
nothing.
Of this.
You're right. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
The red car line was the greatest mass transit system you could ever want.
Yeah, I recall that. I think I've ridden parts of it, but never as far. I didn't realize it went all the way down, to Balboa Island area.
It went all the way down to the peninsula, on the peninsula, all the way to the
peninsula.
End.
Well, it was a beautiful, good old days. Now it's awful crowded there and a lot of just rich people.
You can leave crowded off. It's just awful.
I think. Yeah, maybe about 20 years ago, there were still surfers there and sort of beatnik artists, but they're sort of like all gone now, too. You know, it's all whatever was left of the scene, they just got all priced out, and young people couldn't come in and do those sort of fun things anymore. You know, life became a lot richer, but a lot steeper for, you know, most people, and boring also. So, you know, that part of the coast is very, very boring now, overcrowded and boring.
It was so special.
Nothing happening. It was a golden era of California, as California should be. You know, and California had amazing places, amazing scenes and people, but that's sort of gone away. And you know, it's really sad what's happened. You know, California was a cultural center and a art center for things like fishing and hunting and all that. But that's all like gone with the wind. You know, it's sad.
Gone.
It's really sad.
It is. It's
anyway,
very sad.
It's amazing that you were from there. I didn't realize. I thought you were from a little further up the coast. You know,
I ended up in Santa Barbara.
In Santa Barbara. Yeah, that's what I thought.
When I was a sophomore in high school, I moved up to Santa Barbara, so to speak.
I think you had some. With the Newport Beach area was a wonderful part of your life. It had to be. You know, you're very
Santa Barbara was even crazier. It was different. UC Santa Barbara, right? I went to UC Santa Barbara all the way through grad school. And right next to the campus is this little community called Isla Vista. And Isla Vista is about 1 square mile of nothing but apartment buildings, where all the off-campus students lived. And I was lucky to get an old beach house right on the bluff. It was about a 30-foot bluff down to the beach, and there was a stairway down to the beach right next to my house. And my house was so old that you could hear the termites at night crunching. Anyway, it was a wonderful thing. I got to live in that house for years. And living on the edge of the beach is you've done it. It's very special. Very special.
So, I was California lucky. Dreaming. Yeah, the dream's over, buddy. It's sad. It's really sad. It was great.
Surfed
California
all over the
Dreaming.
Place.
You know, that was a really true song. Yeah.
It's true.
If you were there, you were lucky, and if you weren't there, well, you had at least a dream of being there. So that's it was true. A wonderful time, and then things started to change. You know, politics came into the scene.
Well, and you know what else came in?
Development.
MK Ultra, Laurel Canyon, Tavistock, and they changed the whole culture.
Mind control.
The Beatles came in, and all that heavy metal, or early heavy type metal. Rock, different music, everything changed.
That's right. Yeah, things got a lot rougher, crueler world, more dangerous, more strange, more manipulated, much more manipulated,
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think of Jim Morrison, is sort of like a innocent college boy,
Well, his dad was an admiral.
Vietnam War movement.
His dad was in the anti-war movement.
Dad was the admiral, so he got ahead. And then somehow bad things happen. Barry's in Paris. It was Jimi Hendrix. All these guys, it's just going down, like flies. It was just crazy.
For a while they were.
How
it's
evil
true.
It turned. Yeah.
Manson, the Beatles gang.
Horrible things happened. Innocent kids who just got into the scene, having a great time, and suddenly terrible, money. I think the hand of money, manipulation, propaganda.
Absolutely.
All that stuff was there and just strangled that whole 60s scene and ruined it. And what have we got now? What's your name?
Taylor Swift.
God, the most untalented female singer dancer. She's
ever.
No Julie Garland, that's for sure.
No, they have no talent. None of these people.
And you hear the
talent.
Voice, it doesn't seem like a voice. It's all synthesized.
Digitized.
If it's a woman. It's real strange. She looks more like a male basketball player than a woman. So. All this weird manipulation going on, and the kids are being fed all these images that, you can't really tell if it's real, any of it,
You got it, my friend.
They strummed on their guitars and all that, They sang badly when at times, they sang good at times. So, they made mistakes. They were real, so it's times have changed, I don't envy the kids today. They're totally lost, And now all the crackdown on the internet now that's starting to come in and, control over it. And it's manipulation. Mass media is police state once again. That's where it ends up, the wrong direction puts you, go to jail, just like in Monopoly, go to jail.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Do not pass go. The game's over, folks. Our kids, game's over.
Yoshi, it's none of these people, who are supposedly entertainers, singers, have any talent.
Mm-hmm.
None of them. No. They're all pitch corrected.
No.
It's all digitally. It's lies.
Now, here, in the 19,
I firmly believe that the 1950s, the second half, of the 1950s was the last age of talent in pop culture.
Yeah.
Talent. Yeah. Now here, let me play this just 20 seconds worth. Let's see if this brings back a little bit of a memory or two. I think you'll like this.
Only you can make all this world seem right. Only you can make the darkness bright. Only you and you.
Okay, that's the great...
The Platters, that,
I think that's the Platters. That's Tony Williams, probably the greatest crooner singer of the maybe ever. Yeah. He was just fabulous.
Yeah.
That's, 1956.
It was great. You know, what, the great thing about that music, driving down the California highway with that on the radio, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, you know? Where do you get that anymore?
No, you mentioned Taylor Swift. Come on. You heard talent. That was a real voice. No digital pitch correction. No digital studio equipment to play with it. Yeah. That's exactly what that voice sounded like. Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. You got off the bus, walked into the dance hall, and started singing.
That's
the way it was,
right? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And when you're dancing, and hopefully that's, you know, that's a girl of your dreams, at least for that night or that week or that month, you know? Or maybe just for that minute.
Maybe for the minute. Here's another, just a real quickie here, just for fun. There's smoke gets in your
eyes. Smoke gets in your eyes. Fantastic
song.
Yeah.
So
that was
so
sort of intergenerational, like my father's generation and our generation, you know, there's a song we both shared and saw things in different ways too, maybe. They saw it maybe more tragically. They're older and more disappointed with life. So it was great. Phenomenal stuff back in the stuff with meaning that gets to your heart. And it really touches on human experience, on your experience, your expectations of romance, of love, of success, and failure, and dealing with failure. You know, so it was music meant something then. You know, it means nothing today.
It did.
Just
that's
noise.
Well said. It was a great observation.
Yeah.
And you're right.
When it just kills time today. It's just a way to kill time. Yeah. It's just like the internet. Games. You're just killing. Everyone's just killing time. But you know what they're doing? They're killing themselves is really what's going on. They're killing whatever creative talent they might have is being just destroyed by the mass media. You know, it'd be ground under. And they'll never have a chance, most of these people, unless something happens. I don't know. The hippies, you know, they broke out of it, right? They were in the 50s, conformist culture, and they did whatever they had to break out of it. Then you had the Grateful Dead. It really broke loose. It was, they were approachable. You know, Purdue University is where I went in Indiana. It's the most conservative college in the Big Ten. But one day I said, this has got to end. You know, I'm going to rent the dance, the concert hall. Because I heard the Grateful Dead are coming to Chicago, and I phoned them up. I said, hey, you guys, I hear you're coming to Chicago. you know, Purdue, Lafayette, Indiana. It's not that far away. Are you traveling by? But yeah, we got a bus, they said. What are you doing after Chicago? They said, nothing. Says, why don't you come to Purdue? And I said, okay. And so I invited him to the campus, and then made a surplus of cash. And the great thing after that, after the concert, they blew out the lights at the concert. We had to get all the sound system worked up. It was just fantastic, you know. And I said, God, I didn't know there were this many hippie girls in all the state of Indiana, Illinois, and Ohio. You know, it seems like we had every hippie girl from around come see the dead sitting on the floor and all that as they're waiting for the thing to go on. But after the concert, I lived in a little farmhouse. They went out there, and then I had their acoustic guitars and were playing before and drinking beer with us, and then before they headed off back to Chicago. You know,
so, Good job.
Amazing scene.
Very good.
Yeah. So that's the way it was. You know, anything could happen. There was, you know, no contracts or anything like that. You know, things happened because people wanted them to happen. You know, they knew they had to happen. Yeah. So that's a spirit Americans need to recapture again. We do things because it's fun, and we want to do them, and it's something new, daring, and it's a and maybe challenging, you know, but they're going to do it. Yeah.
You know what's
this
so sad?
This is what's got to happen.
Yosh, is it young people now don't have that option. They're told what to think. They're told what reality is. They are programmed to respond like Pavlov's dogs. They look at their screens. I call it terminal screen addiction. That's reality to them. They can't make it without that.
Yeah.
They're told what to do.
Yeah.
We made our own decisions.
It's controlled reality.
We created things.
Controlled reality and utterly false.
That's right.
Yeah. They have no reality. You know, nothing's real. You know, so, you know, and then they try to set rules for everybody. And, you know, this is what it means to be whatever you're supposed to be. You have to play by the rules. Whereas in our time, you bent or broke the rules to make things happen, to create something new, to let in light, let in fresh air. Yeah.
Well, the other word that
that's American spirit.
Entrepreneurial spirit. We don't. Young people don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
Hey, let's start a business. Let's do this. Let's do that.
No.
Not. It's not there anymore.
Yeah.
They just expect things to be given to them. Not all, but most.
Yeah. It's that working at home and all that total isolation, following orders of people you never met, you know, your boss that you've never seen. This is really a very, really warped work world, you know, selling products you don't know anything about, you know. Nothing's hands-on. Nothing's real. You know, nothing. And there's going to be big payback for this, you know, the psychiatric wards, you know, and all that, you know. People going ballistic and all that. There's going to be a terrible price that's going to be paid for being this deluded and this isolated from the real world. And that's why our foreign policy is in total collapse. We can't deal with the rest of that world out there, you know? It just takes advantages, takes our money, does what it wants, because Americans are out of it. You know, Americans can't go over there and, you know, evolve and learn from the situation and learn to begin to control that situation. They can't do that anymore. So we're totally at sea. That's why the world government of George W. Bush, you know, which we were the total single superpower of the world, that's totally gone now. You know, the American realm is shrinking. We don't even control most of America. There's so many foreigners and illegals here.
So totally true. I don't know.
About the illegals, since I'm in New Mexico, I'm glad to report that we call them the Mexican buses. They're like vans that haul Mexican workers into America across the border and back to Mexico. They're usually nothing for them to do now because all the illegals have been here for the summer crop, and they're wintering over here in like 20 people inside a two-bedroom apartment. Okay, they share them, and of course the landlords are also Mexican American, making a fortune off of these people. And in anticipation of
20 people, 20 in a two-bedroom apartment.
Yeah, two-bedroom apartment. Yeah, they're agricultural workers, so they work in food food industry and all that, restaurants and all, and they try to pick up a little bit of work after the harvest is over, but they're waiting for the early spring harvest to get back to work. But they know now with the crackdown on illegal immigration, they're at high risk of losing, being arrested and losing the money that they've earned. So these vans now are just really packed with people leaving back to Mexico. Basically, goodbye America, I think they're going to be gone for a while until the situation lightens up again. So already, the Republican, threats to crack down on illegal immigration are working on their own. These people are getting out, and it's going to be tougher for married couples. Let's say one is a Mexican citizen, illegal, married to an American. That's much tougher because they may have a down payment on a house or a long-term rent on a house and all that. So they're going to be in a much stickier situation come this spring, and they know it. So there's a lot of tension in the air, and I'm just really curious of how property is going to open up in the Southwest, because we have a lot of snowbirders down here in RVs. But with all this property opening up, they'll be able to
rent and buy houses. In New Mexico.
Yeah, in New Mexico area, southern Arizona, right. Southern Texas. Yeah, there's a lot of them down here. There's not much you can do in the trailer park. They just watch TV and all that. There's not much of a social life. But when all this property opens up, rentals and home sales, and abandoned homes for fixer-uppers, and they usually have large yards here so you can put your RV inside. I think there's going to be a boom here once RVers talk to other people from their home states and up north. Come on down to the border area. Things are open. Prices are low now, and, the availability, because once all the illegals are gone. So they've actually stopped development. The illegal immigration has stopped development here in the southwestern states, because there's no available property and the prices are jacked up. When you have 20 people living in a two-bedroom apartment, prices of apartments are not going to come down. It's only when they're gone will prices come back down to reasonable levels where, Americans can, stay in these places.
Well, I'm surprised if some kind of land boom. New Mexico is an odd state. It's got a very interesting history. I hear nothing really pleasant, honestly, about Albuquerque. I've never been there.
Oh, it's a horrible town. Yeah, there's nothing but shootouts and drug dealers all the time. Cops have a devil of a time there, and the judges are always going after the cops for defending themselves against crazy dope dealers. So it's hard. Kids with guns. It's just Albuquerque, and also, the highway is pretty narrow, and people drive like maniacs. The last time I was on it, there was a 10-car pileup, just horrible, and there's not a lot of gas stations. They're a politically correct city, so they support electric cars. So, and there's just tens of thousands of gas cars on the highway and people running out of gas. I mean, it's crazy. It's like everything wrong with political correctness, of ethnocentrism, of trying to cater to people of Mexican origin where everyone else can go to hell, right? So it's like, it's a living nightmare.
What's
going to
happen? Yoshi, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. 30 million invaders, illegals here now, and Trump says he's going to get rid of them all. How the hell is he going to get rid of 30 million people?
I think it can be done pretty efficiently, because once the ball gets rolling, neighbors are going to report them. People are going to report them. Because people are tired.
Where are we
going
to get the bodies to round them up though and organize them and get them the hell out of here? We only have 435,000 active duty military. That's it.
Most illegals are not going to stand and fight. They know if they do that, they're dead meat. They'll be put in a box, and they'll be buried in America in ashes. Once detected, they're going to reluctantly leave. They'll leave.
That's a mass.
Roundups will occur in certain areas.
Right. I think there'll be some efforts to create a civil war environment. I think they'll arm some of them. Maybe it'll be false flag. Yeah.
No, it'll be very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. Because most of the concentrations are in the western states where most people have guns. Yeah. So, and American citizens shoot an illegal, and no one's going to say, who is this guy you shot? I said, no. No name.
That's a good point.
No nothing.
That's true.
So if there is any kind of armed resistance, and so the Democrats are talking tough, like Katie Hobbs in Arizona, it's a sanctuary state, and she's not going to let any federal authorities in. I just hope everyone remembers Katie Hobbs, because she's a goner. She's basically signed, she's not going to be governor much longer. She'll be deposed,
She'll be kicked out. Anyhow, that was a rigged election.
I hope they kick her out to Mexico. I sincerely hope that instead of putting her in trial in the U.S., I just put her in a Border Patrol car, take her to the border, take away her passport, take away her ID, and throw her the hell out and say, now you want to be an illegal? You support
good
illegal?
Job.
Now you are an illegal in Mexico. Yeah. Don't ever try to come back here. That's how we got to deal with these people. They're traitors. Kick them out. Yeah.
I agree. They are traitors.
So,
we've been betrayed.
This is the Wild West. Don't forget, this isn't polite Pennsylvania where no one wants to confront you over anything, right?
No.
This is confrontational here. Cops come to a house, they get shot at. Cops shoot back. This is the Wild West. This happens all the time. So.
All right. We only have about
California's a little tamer. California's much tamer. But these three heartland states here are
California, pretty rough
customers.
Was a truly the golden state, and what's happened to it under Newsom and the others is just horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible, sad. Here's another little quick, hold on. Here's a quick flashback, another one. This is fun. Here.
Heavenly shades of night are falling. It's twilight time. Out of the mist your voice is calling. Tis twilight time. When purple colored curtains mark the end of day. I'll hear you, my dear, at twilight time. Deepening shadows gather splendor.
All right. Who can sing like that now? Can you name anybody?
Oh, nobody.
No.
Yeah, I remember that song. That was a ballroom favorite.
You bet.
Close dancing with a girl. Yeah, that was good times. That was more toward the end of the dance. They played that one.
That's right. Boy, they had boys' choice or girls' choice.
Yeah.
Wasn't that it? Girls' choice.
Yeah.
Girls got to pick the guy she wanted to dance with.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Oh yeah, good old days. I hate to think of those times. Geez, that's in my hopes and expectations. Didn't realize it was going to be a hard desert out there. where you had to pay some massive bills for some girl's dinner, and then she didn't want to do anything.
No, 100%.
Oh, what a disappointment it was to grow old. And when I say grow old, I mean being in your late 20s. At discos in New York City. Horrible. Nightmare.
It's true.
Oh, boy.
The last dance of the evening.
The last dance of the evening.
Remember
that?
Here, you know what it was? Here's what it was for years. Now, here, see if this comes back to you. I'm sure it will. This is the last dance. Hold on, I got to get through this quick commercial here. All right, here.
Well, you're a remarkable DJ.
All right, here. Here we go.
And no songbirds are singing. When the twilight is gone, you come into my heart. And here in my heart you will stay while I pray. My prayer the day. In a dream that's divine, my friend is a rapture in blue. With the world far away and your lips close to mine.
All right. That was traditionally the last dance.
Yeah, the last dance.
My prayer.
That was a panic moment.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, what happens next, yeah?
You know, they think about it. Back in those days, that was the only time you could really put your hands on a member of the opposite sex, whether it's girl, boy, boy, girl, doesn't matter, and hold them and squeeze them and dance with them. Otherwise, you couldn't do that.
Yeah.
That was the only time you could, unless you were dating and had a girlfriend. That's pretty wild.
Well, even if you had a girlfriend, maybe she wasn't there at the dance that night. You know, we were young. Yeah, we were young, wild, and I don't know, romantic, crazy, happy.
Well, it was hormones, but they were managed.
Yeah, all those things rolled into one. We were alive. Yeah, that's being alive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, alive and young. That's great. You know, it was wonderful. And time has passed,
we had honest music. We had beautiful music, great singing.
Yeah.
Real honest. Yeah. It was just a whole different era. And the younger people now, under 45, they have no idea of what that was like. No idea.
Yeah.
Not a clue.
Yeah, and also, the girls looked a lot better back then. They were slimmer and all that, and better health, you know. And
60% of America is fat or obese now. 60%.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine that. Yeah, no, they were cute. You know, they were. It was hard to, you know, it was really hard to find an ugly girl back then, you know, or an unathletic boy. You know,
that's statement. You know? That's a very fair statement.
Yeah.
It's true. They were thin. They were very nicely mannered, beautifully dressed.
Yeah.
It's true.
It was a nation of heroes. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was a heyday. And gosh, it's just hard to believe the passage of time has brought such ruination and destruction upon the nation, once great nation. Yeah, and which is a big puzzle, I think, behind everyone working on this Trump thing. They're trying to find the magic button to make America come alive again, right? I mean, this is what it's all about. This is their desperation tactics. You see all these guys in the Trump campaign desperate to make this America be America again, come back to life, you know, the spark of life, the joy of living, you know, the happiness that's there, you know, smiling, laughing, you know, making jokes. Some of them obscene jokes, but making jokes, you know, that doesn't exist anymore. Everyone is so dulled out, you know, so politically correct, so afraid.
No laughter,
no cheerfulness.
There's no comedian, no comedy, no laughter.
Yeah, no comedians, no hanging out with your buddies, nothing cutting up, and you know, and girls don't hang around with each other anymore either. You know, it's like that doesn't exist anymore. You know, it's very much an isolationist society, and I don't know how young people are going to make it without. You know, I think half of them are going to end up in a psychiatric ward if this continues. You know,
I agree.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about living life. You know, and this is, I think, and so I think, you know, this whole hysteria around Trump and trying to stop it is this idea, you know, Trump wants the party to start again, you know, and he's the kind of guy who did that on his shows and all that, at his hotels and restaurants. He was always trying to get the party going so people will start to have fun, act naturally, be able to laugh again, and, you know, not being so serious and sad about
What do they do now, Yoshi? They look at their goddamn phones. That's what they look at.
Yeah.
Go to dinner, they're all looking at their phones.
Yeah.
All of them.
And you know, the problem with phones, there's not a person on the other end. You know, well, when we were young and you talked on the phone and there was no one on the other end, you were a very lonely, sad boy.
Isn't that the truth? Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, my friend, that was fun. We're going to get you back on here more often and talk more about the things that young people now never experienced.
Yeah.
They just didn't.
Well, it's, you know, the cultural aspect is important, you know. It's not all a political commentary, you know. It's about the quality of life and the ability of people to live and take the risks necessary to have.
We were all accountable too, right?
And to make mistakes.
We screwed up. We screwed up. Everybody makes mistakes. You're accountable.
You're allowed to make mistakes. Yeah, you're allowed to make mistakes. Yeah, in the pursuit of happiness, and that's right in the Constitution, right? The pursuit of the Declaration of Independence, pursuit of happiness. That's core to America. Americans.
It's true. All right. You take care of yourself. We'll talk soon. Yoshi, thanks.
Okay.
That was great.
Thanks for this opportunity.
You bet. You're a great man. All right. You can find all of his wonderful writings on the left side of the homepage. Look for his newest on Thanksgiving. It's right there under his name. And enjoy that. Back with you tomorrow. Thanks for being here.